The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Well, get Dinya Gujie and DL Debate. Let me say Brendan O'Davnia on Shot I Highland Radio. Everyone, welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now you're on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. I hope you had a good weekend, another sunny weekend in Donegal. I'm joined in studio here by Mark Gallagher, producing this evening. He's a happy man, just recently hitched there to the lovely Essie. He is off the market, a good looking guy, ladies, but he is off the market now. He is a settled man. Good luck to him, Mark. Congratulations with that. He's producing the show this evening, and we're going to speak shortly to the one and only Maureen O'Donnell. She's going to give us the lowdown on the championships across the board, along with Donegal News sports editor Ryan Ferry. We're going to wrap up all the weekend's championship action, and then later I'm going to speak with former Donegal star hurler Niall Cleary as we build up to a huge weekend in hurling in Donegal. We have three county finals taking place this Saturday at the O'Donnell Park, the home of hurling in Dún Yiannal. I just have you mentioned the Masters game from the weekend. It sounded a bit crazy. It went a draw game with light fading. The referee decided to play 3 minutes extra time. Then they were going to play penalties. There seems like there's no replays wanted out there. Ryan Ferry, Marion O'Donnell, how are yous?
Good, very good. How are you?
Oh, tearing away, Mo. Hey, listen, thanks so much for joining us, Ryan. Nobody wants replays anymore. 3 minutes of extra time. Did you ever hear anything like it?
It's a bizarre one. We had wee Jerry McLaughlin out of Brendan, and you can imagine what his humour was like watching that kind of drama unfold. He still probably prefer that than penalty shootout, but it was definitely a strange one. Now, 3 minutes each way, I don't know what to make of that. I don't know how they came up with the number at all, to be honest.
Yeah, it was interesting. Interesting indeed, folks. Sorry, I jumped on the hot seat late. I forgot to mention, of course, Michaela with the news and the great Ivan Borland. I was listening to Power Hour Plus on the way up. He was getting the toes tapping all right. Listen, I enjoyed the show. Listen, we're going to open up with a big clash. Dunloe, last year's finalist, beaten finalist. But listen, what a season they have. They've picked up the ground running. 3 wins from 3 here. They had a tough fixture away to Glen Swilly, but come out on top by a couple of points. Mo, you seen that one?
I did indeed. Like a really good game, to be honest, look. And as most people maybe expected, Dunloe going down to Glen Swilly, it's very hard to take the points from them down there. A repeat of last year's quarter final, and we all know how that went, you know. Came down to the wire, and Glen Swilly were out of the championship just by a point last year. Probably not the same start this year. They started off, I suppose, just settled into the game and tried to get to know one another early. Like last year, Dunloe bagged 2 goals early in the early stages. But listen, Glen Swilly went in 2 points down at half time, and he just couldn't get to grips, you know, with Dunloe and I suppose the youth. And young Luke Clerk in there scored 5 fantastic scores and really good assists by the full forward, Ryan Connor. So they have, I suppose, that little bit more experience. Look, Gary McDade will always say that his team is a very youthful one. They're re-blooding there in Glen Swilly at the minute, and like they're hampered actually with injuries too as well. So, but look, you can't take it away from Dunloe. They put on a great stunt, 60-minute stunt there in Glen Swilly, and you know, ran out deserving winners in the end.
Yeah, what's the word from Michael Murphy?
Listen, look, he was there yesterday, not togged. So you know, maybe they're just trying to hold on for another wee while. You know, maybe he's picked up a small injury, but that's all you can say on it. It's clear to say he wasn't there yesterday. You know the influence he has on the field. So they're missing Murphy, and they're also missing young Jack Gallagher as well. Mark Boner from the week before scored a fabulous 2-pointer against McCool's. He was out injured as well, and then Kevin Marley left the field just at the end of second half, and you know he scored two fabulous two pointers the week before to draw them back, you know, to claw them back to a draw against McCool's. So you know, missing those kind of calibre of players in the field too as well, so it's having an impact on their play.
Yeah, and there's certainly around something building there with Glenn Swilly. Obviously, the big comeback the week before. You know, they were very close to snatching a draw in this one. And as the two-pointer, Ryan, it's along with everything else, it was set up to be this extra scoring and to encourage teams to come out and not to be sitting too deep, etc. But it's certainly at the end of the match is producing a lot of drama as teams either have the potential to win it or to equalise even from two down, as Glenn Swilly had.
Yeah, and I think it was a great block from Dylan Sweeney. Denied, I think it was Dahi Gilday had the shot. But yeah, like, you know, if you're brave enough to take it on at the end, Bren, like, you know, you could be the hero or you could be zero. And if you miss it, there'll be plenty of people lining up to tell you it was the wrong choice. But particularly the weekend before last when you had that really good weather, Bren, like there was loads of two-pointers and coming both ends of the pitch, which you don't often see in Donegal because there's usually a breeze going some way and it's hard to score. And, you know, there's a lot to decide whether you know, you play with that breeze in the first half, Bren, or go with it in the second half. That, you know, if you need a two-pointer and late on, you know, you want to be able to kick it, whereas if you're playing against the breeze, it mightn't be possible to do it. So there's a lot to weigh up for managers.
Yeah, a lot to weigh up, because I seen Bon Crana actually have three attempts at the game. Me and Oisin was at yesterday late on, three good attempts to equalise up the game. They couldn't get it, but we'll talk about that later. Mo, you're the homeboys there. We're down in St. Michael's. Both had opening day defeats, but had responded well in week two. It was a hard game to call, but certainly 1-7. Mo, were you surprised by when you seen the scoreline there? St. Michael's 14, Termin 1-7.
Aye, listen, it's a tough one to call, to be honest. I would have said, you know, Termin would have given them a good game, particularly after the week before and the great game they had at home against Four Masters, you know. It was a hard one to call, but Termin really needed the points. And, like, look at the draw they've come away with this week now, which is going to make it even more difficult. It's going to be a very nervy affair down in Termin this week. But I would have thought they would have got over the line. They just couldn't get going down in St. Michael's, Brendan, to be honest with you. And look, that's really going to affect them now going into this last game. They could have done what the cushion won, but there you go. Look, both teams, both St. Michael's and Termin, they're, you know, very young sides at the minute, you know, and they're learning a lot year by year. We've seen how far St. Michael's went this year, and Termin's very new into it, and I know they had a very good Division 1 campaign like this year, but look, Championship's a different game, and they're beginning to see this now at this stage.
Yeah, and Ryan, is this a good game for Termin maybe now? You know, that probably a wee bit of rivalry there with St. Junans. You know, they played well in the league against them. There'll be certainly a big crowd up. I think maybe for both teams, it's a good game in terms of probably bringing that bit of Championship bite, isn't it?
Oh, I would say it's a better game for St. Junans than it is for Termin anyway. I would say they would have preferred somebody at the other side of the scale, Brendan, because, you know, they only have 2 points, and, you know, if they lose, you know, 2 points mightn't be enough to get them through to the knockout stages. You could be looking at relegation playoffs. So, you know, I would say Termin are probably, you know, looking at the games that they've had, you know, Killybegs, Four Masters and St. Michael's, I think they'll be disappointed with only one win from three games. And, you know, now they're coming into St. Unions, and St. Unions are getting all the county men back. They have to, you know, click into gear now as well. So, yeah, I don't think that's a great game for Termin to get, to be honest. But, you know, at the Burn Road, you know, the pressure will be on. Like, you know, it'll be Keane McDade will be putting it up to his team that, you know, they have to get a result to make sure they get into the preliminary quarterfinals. And, you know, if that means taking out their neighbours, then so be it.
Yeah, and do you know what? I've seen a lot in the last few weeks' Championship. They're definitely a serious physical edge to a lot of teams. So Michael seemed to have a physical edge maybe over Termin the last night, which I'm just looking at teams. I'm very impressed with McCool's physicality. We'll come on to him now in a minute. And even the way Dunlow, when I seen them last year, particularly in that county final. But Sean McCool's had another brilliant victory at the weekend. They put them up to 5 points, just nestled in behind the two teams leading the charge, Gidoor and Dunlow. Here's a couple of words from their manager, Gary Wilson, after the victory.
I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Gary Wilson. Gary,
brilliant performance from your side, particularly in that second half. 10 points in the first half, but brilliant 2-12 in the second half. You must be happy with how the game went.
Okay, overall delighted, you know, Brendan, just to get the result more than anything, you know. You know yourself, if you get 2 points with a bad performance or 2 points with a good performance, still 2 points, you know, in the grand scheme of the whole, the structure that it is. But look, overall, yeah, we're happy with the performance. I think in the first two games we would have been kind of kicking ourselves a wee bit. We probably the games in the bag, and a wee bit of composure, a wee bit of game management, as they say, we could have probably had, you know, 4 points on the board coming down here versus three, you know. So we'd focused it heavily on that, you know, and I think we have to be very aware too of the players that we're asking to manage the game for us. You know, Oisin's kind of trapped inside, and so is Martin. Like, so you're putting a lot of onus on the likes of Sean Martin and Connor and Finn. A lot of the men aren't even over 20 yet, so you're sort of, I suppose, tasking young men with, I suppose, big really leadership roles. And I think tonight they really showed their capacity that they can go and do this, you know. And that's what's really important in the senior championship, is recognising moments where we've got to go for the juggler here, and recognising moments, you know, when you take a sting out of this game and manage this for a period of time, you know, maybe the other team's on top or whatever. So I think overall performance wise you know, we've been very, very pleased.
Yeah, a couple of big leads in those two games previous. You came here tonight, you know, I was just looking, after 12 minutes it was 5 each, you know, and the game was to and fro, and small bit of a lead at half time, 10-6, and you thought maybe the home team would come after you. But I thought in that second half, Gary, your defensive shape, you always had spare men, you always had at least two sweepers, maybe three at times, to nullify their attack. Your tackling was bang on, and when you got the ball in, you drove forward at pace, and it seemed like you had runners coming from all over. So a huge work in the background in terms of shape, your tactical setup, but then that real energy of players breaking off. And you say Oisin was a jewel in the crown, but you had players coming from all over the pitch.
Yeah, and look, we're blessed in a sense, in the club, and it's a real blessing for the club. Like, you know, I see Luke Gavigan down there, captain of the county under 20 team. Sean's captain of the county under 20. Connor's been in there. Finn's been in the minors. Oisin. You know, and we should have probably one or two other fellas in there that have been representing on teams, and for one reason or another, just maybe haven't gotten there. So we do have players that can hurt you from all angles, and we have a lovely sprinkling of youth. You know, and with that, as you know, Bryn, it's full of legs. It's not like us. We're a bit slower.
But full of legs is right. Hey, good man, Gary. I'll tell you what, they were full of legs. Mo, is this the thing now, Mo? This you've got to be at the pitch of it in terms of that athleticism, because as we were saying the last night, McCool's well set up defensively. You know, I really like their shape, good midfield, good tackling. But going forward then, you know, Keegan, McGinty, McCormick, and of course Oisin Gallen, they just had so many threats for Ardra to deal with. Like, it was such a difficult proposition. And a game a few people maybe found a bit hard to call, particularly as Ardra was at home. It was a serious performance from Sean McCool's.
Yeah, really, really good. And look, they needed the one, to be honest with you. And you say athleticism, you do need that. You need to be at your game. You need to have those scorers, those attackers, and you need to be on form for the full 60 minutes. Because as you say, like, McCool's allowed St. Michael's and Glen Swilly back into the games, both in the second half. You know, they were down, they were ahead by 10 points. St. Michael's, and the St. Michael's game, they won it by 2.
Yeah. Is he still there, Mo? Sorry, we might have lost Mo a sec there, did we, Mark? You still there? Oh, you're back. Sorry, Mo, we lost you a second. Keep going there.
There we go. But as I say, look, they were down in the second half in both games. So, and look, they allowed, not down, but they allowed other teams to come back from big gaps that they were leading by. So, look, they need that fitness in the second half, and they need to be able to carry their performance from the first half into the second half, particularly this weekend going in against Kidor. Brendan, it's a big, big game, and they need to be in firing in all cylinders, you know yourself. Yeah. They're playing at home, but it's not really is it back in McCool's, or is it still in Convoy, you know?
That's it. I think pitch has still been relayed there, right?
Yeah, it's not really in Convoy, so it's not really a home game for them. That's, you know, right. So big, big game in the championship for them.
Yeah, and that is, I think that's the tie of the round, Mo, right? That's the one that seems the most interesting in all those fixtures, but quite a few, should be quite a few good ones in there. Ryan, at the end of that interview, like, I had to cut it a bit short there just for time tonight, but Gary said that maybe this year would be a year too early for his team maybe to get to a county final. But they were mighty close in the last couple of seasons. That's 4 years he's been involved now. He's definitely building something. And, you know, he mentioned Sean Martin there, you know, as well, coming from deep. Like, they have an array of talent there. They're certainly building a good squad. And say, Gallen at times was unmarkable on Saturday evening.
Yeah, I would agree. I think I've seen the three McCool games. I would say probably Sean Martin, outside of the, you know, the regular county man, probably has been the most impressive player that I've seen on show so far. Like, he really looks to have kicked on, yeah, over the last 12 months, and he's really driving his team forward. Like, you know, McCool's had three or four in the county minors this year, Bren. They had, you know, maybe another three in the under 16 panel. You know, and they've, you know, like, Oisín's only 25, like, so he's going to be leading the way for a good while. The Matthew McGeehan, I think that the Cruciates was a wee bit unlucky there, but he was a forward that really impressed me during the league as well. So, yeah, I would probably say maybe a wee bit early for them, but maybe not either. I think Gweedore will be a good judge of where McCool's are at, because they've struggled against Gweedore in the last couple of years. But, you know, maybe the new rules are going to help the likes of McCool's. Like, the inside forwards seem to be getting a wee bit more leeway, Bren. You'll be glad to see that. And it seems to suit teams. And like, Kev McCormick and Oisín Gallen were hard to deal with the last day.
They were. There was, I tell you what, it was a very impressive performance. We'll see how they go. Yeah, certainly some interesting stuff coming up. Killybegs, Kilcare. Now, there was a lot of derbies at the weekend between senior and intermediate and local bragging rights and that, but they went to the men of Kilcare, even though top scorer McBertie, who scored 9 and 8 in the last two games, he was missing. But of course, Ryan McHugh was there, and a great game from Matthew McLean, who basically, you know, he could be in the county squad, I think, if things were a bit different. So is that the difference, Mo? You have that quality coming back into your ranks and really shoring up a Kilcare team, even minus McBertie, because Killybegs looked like they're under Boner building a bit of something again down there.
Yeah, you know, look, Kilcare, obviously, fantastic championship team, always have been, but, you know, it's a case of how long is it going to last as well. And, you know, like, they had a big defeat down there in Towny, and I think it shocked a lot of people against that Downing's one, and that's really hurt them, you know. But so they absolutely need a big one now this weekend against Glenswally.
Yeah, huge.
And you know that? Yeah,
that's a massive game. Yeah, some interesting games in there as well, Mo. You know, obviously Downing's and Neve Connell has to be replayed this weekend. This weekend, it's all the following weekend, sorry. That's the only game going to be going ahead in the championship this weekend. And then you're in the Dunloe Four Masters, another pretty intriguing one. We're trying to gauge where Four Masters is at, Mo, and certainly the Dunloe game will test that.
Absolutely. Like, Four Masters have a lot to lose. They're sitting on 4 points, you know, so like, a win for them changes things. Like, that's what it's all about. And like, as you say, a very interesting mix now. Round four has certainly thrown up a lot of interesting mixes there, and it could go anyway, because as you say, Downing's and Neve Connell still have to play, so either one of those are going to go to 4 points as well, and then with the next game either one of them go to 6. So it changes so many, there's so many dimensions now to it, and you know, it's very, very hard to call. But look, Four Masters, we've heard a lot about Four Masters and the youth that they have been bringing. You know, I still feel they have a little bit to go in terms of experience. They're a young side, and you know, when they went down to Termond, lost against Termond, you know, they really put themselves in the back foot, so they need a one now this weekend. And look, they have nothing to lose going up against Dunloe, so. But the only thing is, Dunloe's at home is going to be very hard to take the points with Dunloe at the minute, with the momentum that they have, Brendan.
Yeah, but certainly interesting, Ryan. There seems to be, for me, a lot of games in here. With the last few years, not last years, but certainly previously, the rule changes. And, you know, there was a time in Donegal where it was very much, we knew who was going to be in the semis and finals. Within reason, there might have been an odd team. But now, it looks like there's a real bit of jeopardy in there for a lot of teams between the rules. And I think teams have basically got their act together a bit. That's why I think we have a very interesting championship. And I know at times, you know, it falls under a wee bit of keep ball sometimes if the zonal sits off and it goes a little bit pedestrian. But by and large, there's a tremendous amount of interest there. And if you like, you know, Shamrock's and Gweedore now is a massive game in this championship. I mean, two of the teams sitting up the top, this will really test, again, McCool's championship credentials, right? Because I think they're merited from what we've seen so far.
Yeah, well, but the only thing is, Bren, like, you know, it's not a knockout game, and like, you're getting closer to the knockout stages now, and like, I'm not sure we've got a real true sense yet of really where it's at. Like, when you look at the likes of St Union's, you know, they've used a lot of players, maybe 25 players already, Bren. Like, what is St Union's strongest team? You know, and when are we going to see it? Niamh Connell have used a good few players already. You know, we're not really sure where those teams are at. Like, so, you know, I feel when the knockout element comes into it, there could be a different story a wee bit with this, Brian. I'm not sure we're getting just a true gauge on where things are at. And, you know, there's been some nice free-flowing football. I watched this stream of Four Masters and Glenfinn this morning. Four Masters played some lovely football yesterday in Chicano Park, but you know, when in a knockout game against a more physical side, are they going to be able to play like that? I'm not so sure, but yeah, like, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, mainly into round four, who avoids the relegation playoff. You know, St Union's last year, I don't need to tell you, Brendan, you just came from the preliminary quarterfinals to win it. Does the extra week break make a difference or not? Maybe you can tell us that.
Yeah, but listen, you wanted the break, you know, I mean, playing week on week, you know, it asks a lot of the team. But I think when you're in it, you just go with it. You don't mind it. You're not going to make any excuses about it and go for it. But certainly you would have liked that week off, because the championship season becomes very condensed. You're always trying to get a mix between freshness. I suppose, as everybody knows that's listening, there's players all over the country. You're pulling players together, trying to get cut between rest and rehab to games. So certainly the teams go straight through, you'd think, have an advantage. But listen, it didn't stop St Union's, as you mentioned, last season, Ryan. But Mo, just on that, St Union's, from what I've seen of St Noel's and what I've seen of Eirua, I was expecting big victories at the weekend from Gidor and St Union's, two of the maybe favourite teams for it. But they certainly didn't have it all their own way. I was very surprised when I seen the scorelines coming through.
But that's, I suppose, what the interesting thing about this year's championship is, the new rules. And, you know, you're not expecting the kind of, you know, maybe thrashings that you might think will happen, or the victories from these teams that are, they're supposedly the top teams, versus what we would maybe deem the teams at the bottom end of it, like, you know. And Ryan made a good point earlier when he said that the game's a lot more opened up. It really is, attacking wise. And, you know, he also mentioned there is that element of zonal defence and that zone holding on to the ball as well when you need to. But from what I've seen so far of these games is that they're way more free-flowing. They're more open up front. There's more attack plays. And, like, you know, I watched Oisin Gallen against in the Glenswally game as well. A lot of room to play. There's a lot more room for these players to play. And then the element of the two-pointer. They're taking points. They're taking these shots. They're taking these risks. And it's changing the game. So in a lot of ways, the scorelines aren't what we think they are, Brendan, you know?
I'm just caught now between... I really like the home and away third game. We've talked about this a lot, and I talked to my friends in Tyrone about it, about their championship needing that maybe first round, because knockout just seems so severe. But getting that balance right, because I'm seeing some championship games now, they're not championship games, but then it does lead to an excitement. And I just wonder between maybe building up the league the way they do in Tyrone and bringing it into maybe a lesser game championship, would it be better? But listen, at the minute, I'm certainly enjoying the senior championship, and we look forward to the round four in a couple of weeks' time. After the hurling finals, of course, the big hurling finals this week, and we're going to talk about them in a minute. The intermediate championship's rolling along. The men from Mallin drew again. Mallin and Fannett. That was sounds like another humdinger. 2:12 to 2:12. Ryan, you had eyes on that.
Yeah, I made the journey to Connolly Park, Bren, and well worth it. Now, a cracking game that could have went either way. Probably Fannett, probably the better team on the night, but lucky to get a draw in the end up. And it's funny the way it goes, you know. I think after the match they were kind of thinking maybe that a draw wasn't going to be good enough, even with a win in their last game. And then that victory for Muff over Buncrana kind of gives fresh life to Fannett again now. And it's, you know, heading into round four, that Fannett Buncrana game is going to be a massive one, like, you know. So, you know, there's going to be proper jeopardy in there, Bren, because, like, some team is going to end up in the relegation playoff, you know. And Mallin would be going well, Brendan. Probably struggled a wee bit in the physical exchanges against Gaelan at the weekend, particularly in the air. Young Sean Carr for for Fannett, had a great game in the middle of the field, plucked a lot of ball, Dara Douglas down the left really got it going for Mallon, and Josh Conlon had a great game at centre half forward, so elusive. There's times he looked like he was going to be all bottled up, and next thing you know he's away and he's shooting over the bar. Mallon have lost a lot of players from last year. They're young, but they're 3 games now unbeaten. They're going to be at the knockout stages, and it's whether Fannett can get there maybe ahead of Buncrana.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, as I say, me and Oshima were in Buncrana yesterday. Highly entertaining game. Listen, the two county men, McColgan and McGonagall, were unbelievable, particularly in the first half. Some of the play, and McColgan just shooting on sight, unreal, and McGonagall the same, just driving, and no one could stop him. Second half changed a bit. It was Johnny Toy who stood up for the man from Leif Patrick, Iske Keane. I got a couple of words from him after the match. I'm here with Johnny Toy. Johnny, another intermediate derby against your friends of Buncrana. It was an end-to-end game, nothing between the sides, but you came out on the right side of it.
Yeah, look, we were up about just in the kick before half time, and we conceded an out sloppy freeze with it, and we've done a point down, you know, and years gone by, that would have took the sailing out of us. It's only a point now, but we came out in the second half, you know, and I don't know what came over us, you know. We just kept fighting back, and the goal was a real turning point, you know. And it was just I can't give enough credit to the boys. The guy said to the boys there at the end, all the credit goes to the scorers, but I thought our defence done very well. There were a few crucial blocks at a few crucial times and turnovers, and I thought in the second half we won a savage amount of breaking ball from our own kickouts, especially out in the stand side here. So massive credit to the players and the management and all the work they put in to prepare us for this game.
Johnny, at the end of the first 10 minutes, Buncrana had brought a bit of physical edge to it, which I thought you struggled with, because it wasn't your game. You're more a fast running team. You used your pace, you got to grips with, and then it just became end to end. Every time someone would have had a brilliant score, it was responded. To me, looking at it in the first half in particular, obviously Keelan McColgan against Keelan McGonagall was the big shootout, but you in the second half was the difference, because I don't think Keelan had as much an influence, but you stepped up the plate with a couple of brilliant two-pointers and of course that goal.
Yeah, look, you see what the two boys bring whenever they're playing. We watched Buncrana and Mallon there a few weeks ago, and Keelan was out of the game, and all of a sudden he burst through and he busted the net, and he probably should have won the game in the last kick of the game. And look, you can see what Keelan brings to us. On his day, even out of the day, in the first half he was untouchable. I don't know what he got in the first half. He got 3 or 4 points the first half. And to have somebody like him in your team, as you say, maybe not wild physical, but when he starts running, he's hard to stop in terms of pace. And look, apart from maybe the penalty we gave away, I thought we dealt with Keelan McGonagall fairly well, because it wasn't just one boy on him. It was next man up. You had to keep hounding him, and when we crowded him out, we got a great turnover in the second half at one stage, and it was a massive turning point in the game. You could hear the crowd shouting, because that turned the game for us.
Yeah, and just back to that penalty miss, I suppose Keelan was a wee bit of a rash tackle. The ball went over the bar. Now they still got a score out of it by the corner forward Mulholland. But after that, those 2-point efforts from seemed to, Buncrana lost their way. Keelan had one, and then Campbell went for one for the hands, which I thought Keelan might have taken, and then that one late on, was your heart in your mouth a wee bit in those instances, because it looked like you had the game won, and particularly maybe the McColgan one where he went for a goal that you maybe could have went 3 up. Nobody could go 3 ahead, so it was always hanging with that score, but you survived.
Like I said to the boys, if the Buncrana's free tickers were on their game, they'd have probably beat us the other day. And look, I always go back to when Buncrana were 2 points down there. I remember doing it a few months ago in the league. We were 2 down, and it was a 50-meter breach. And I decided to take the 1-pointer, because if you miss the 2-pointer, you're still 2 down. At least if you hit the 1 and you win the kick out, you're only 1 down. You get an easier score. But look, I thought we showed real guts towards the end.
Yeah, he did. Johnny Toy, smart man there. Tactics, he's thinking ahead of the game. Right, and listen, that was another big win for Niamh Patrick, Iske Keane. Of course, Niamh Columba, with 3 huge victories. And this is starting to take a bit of shape for you around, I suppose Red Hughes going well at the weekend, maybe a surprising defeat from them. Your homeboys, Milford, coming up with the goods there. But so certainly plenty of competitive aids in the intermediate.
Yeah, definitely been good championship so far. I suppose that probably the main surprise to me has probably been Boncrana's struggles so far. You know, there's been a lot of finish won derbies, and you know that's probably going to take its toll maybe on all the teams. You know, it was interesting that, you know, Kevin Jordan came on yesterday, Brendan. I think, is that correct?
Yep.
You know, and he obviously was on Finn Harps' books, like, so that's going to be a big boost for them. I like if Boncrana could squeeze through into the knockout stages, you know, they could be a very dangerous team in this championship. You know, particularly if they land in at, you know, maybe number 7 or number 8 and are going to square off against one of the top teams. You know, it could have a big stay on it. You know, Steve McMenamin wasn't there for Red Hughes yesterday. Big loss, because he was unbelievable against Niwara the previous week. And I think Milford got a great start, maybe 1-5 to no score up. They were 10 points ahead at half time and were able to see it out. So it was a good one for Milford's morale. Cause, you know, they lost a couple of players, crucial injuries just before the championship run, and probably maybe things, you know, weren't as at as high an ebb as it could have been, you know. But, you know, they got that big result. And, you know, Niamh Padraig, Eisce Keane as well, Brendan, you know, they've lost Rory Harrell and Kevin Doherty, two big players for them not playing. But, you know, they're still Lynch getting results.
Just, yeah, but Kevin Lynch was just back as well. He'll, I'm sure, add a lot to it. Niamh Mora bounced back with a good victory over struggling Clohan Ely. Owen Martin with 2-8 of their 4-19. Mo's going to give us a wee bit of a ladies roundup now in a minute. Before we just cross the junior championship there, I suppose one of the ties around Niamh Breed against Convoy, was a big game, Ryan.
Yeah, and probably the surprise was the big winning margin for Niamh Breed. You know, so they'd be feeling good about themselves. St Mary's will be disappointed at the Glebe. Cairn Donagh beat Letterkenny Gaels, Brendan. But it was tight enough. I think there was only 1 point in it, maybe 45 minutes to go. And, yeah, and Cairn Donagh finished strongly then. I think Ronan Freehan was back for Letterkenny Gaels, scored 7 points. So, you know, that was interesting. Cairn Donagh still... Mm. Still looking strong, but you know they're not going to run away with it either. But you know they've there's a lot of fires for other teams to put out when it comes to Cairn Donagh.
Yeah, indeed. Pettigo beat Lifford, a second one for Robert Emirates. They defeated Oris as well. Niamh Alton beat Imaville. It looked, seemed like a cracking game there. 126-415. There was a Danny Murphy hat-trick in there from Avell. Not enough to get them across the line. We'll be keeping an eye on the junior championship A&B as time goes on. Ryan, that's it for now. And that wrap up, Ryan Ferry there, Donegal News Sports Editor. Ryan, thanks for that. We'll chat to you as the championship unfolds.
Thank you, Brian.
Top man there, Ryan Ferry. Mo, you're still on the line there. Mo, could you give us a roundup just of the ladies' championship, how it's been coming together there, and are we into the same runners and riders as ever? We have a new one on there, of course, Tony Boyd's done low. I have to mention them from the get-go.
You better mention them, hey, because he'd be on the phone to you. Yeah, pretty much that's pretty much the same as always. Look, two groups, Brendan, Group A and Group B. And look, you'll remember chatting to me last year, those that were drawn out of Group A had to play in Group B, so it was a bit of a mess. So anybody who thought they were getting away with maybe a handy enough group weren't last year. But look, Group A this year, you've got probably the hardest group in terms of champion. Mavill, Termin and Dunloe are in there. St Eunan's are in there. And Erua, Ballyshannon are in there. And then Group B, you've got Glenfinn, St Nawes, Niamh Connell and Niamh Mora. As it stands, Mavill are currently top of Group A. Termin are in 6 points below them. Mavill obviously 9 points. Dunloe just below those on 3 points, and then St Eunan's and Erua haven't had a win yet, so they're both on no points. And then look, Group B, Glenfinn is dominating in Group B, but look, there's a couple of real interesting battles to come ahead, you know. Termin obviously play Dunloe. Tony Boyle's Dunloe now this weekend, but Termin are at home. Look, they need a win obviously. If Dunloe beat Termin now at home this weekend, that throws up you know, a spanner in the works for Terman in terms of they haven't Mavull in their last game, so they would really need to win their last game, and it's actually away in Mavull as well, so that would be a big journey down there for Terman, you know. So, but Mavull are probably doing very, very well now at the top. Look, it's in Group A, it's between Mavull, Terman and Dunloe, and the way Group B is going, Glenfinn, St. Nolan's and Niamh Connell are probably going to battle it out. Niamh Connell now at the minute have 1 point. St. Nolan's are on 4 points. And look, a one for Niamh Connell at the weekend will put them on 4 points with St. Nolan's. St. Nolan's play Glenfinn, but Glenfinn will probably beat St. Nolan's at the weekend, which means St. Nolan's will still be on 4 points. So what's going to happen there is it will come down to head-to-head. When you look at head-to-head, it was a draw, so it'll probably go to points difference then, Brendan. So look, there's a bit of argy-bargy in both of those. And look, it's the same as last year. Top four going to the semi-final. Yeah. And the rest of the Shield.
So it's going to be someone, well, I know Dunloe's first year in, but they're really, they're on the way up more. So it would be, someone's going to get squeezed. Great to see Mavull back to that, you know, height again.
It really is.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a bit of work at underage coaching or?
Listen, yeah, it's always the underage structures that are coming through. Look, they've had a good run this year, to be quite honest with you. The BT Rue, I suppose, in St. Eunice, look, they're still a wee bit. Irua and St. Eunice still have a wee bit to go. You know, they're just in transition and they're getting themselves together. Look, I was impressed with St. Eunice at the weekend. I saw them play Terman and they only got defeated by 2 points. So, look, there's a lot of players coming into the run there in St. Eunice as well. Every year throws up something different for the ladies. But, look, it is good to see Dunloe in there and competing, and it's good to see Mavull on top of the table as well. They'll be happy with that as well.
Yeah, indeed. And, well, tell me, just the... It's hard to get into all the levels of the championship. Is anybody putting their hands up in the other championship? You've noticed that a bit like Dunloe that maybe could come through and maybe make their way towards senior?
Well, look, you're looking probably at Downing's coming through, and there's a lot of teams, and as I say, it changes quite a bit every year, Brendan. And, yeah, you know, you're looking at results and, you know, there's a couple of shockers in there, but, like, Downing's will be very, very... you know, they'll be challenging well after last year. Yeah. There's a brilliant run on last year, as you well know. So, look, they'll be coming through the intermediate ranks. And then you have Glenswally probably in the junior levels will be looking to get into intermediate as well. They'll be knocking the door for a few years. So those are the kind of teams you're looking at. So Downing's coming through from intermediate, which would be great to see. It's fantastic. There's a lot of work being done down there in Downing's. You know, they went to All-Ireland. They narrowly lost out in the end, disappointed with that. But yeah, like to see them come through the intermediate ranks, like Dunloe, and probably Glenswally be knocking at the door as well, you know, with the junior and the junior competition.
Yeah, it's all very positive, Mo. It's great to see that happen. A lot of clubs really getting their... I suppose our house in order and getting that interest out there, which again, obviously from the, looking at it from just an overall perspective, it's going to push players through eventually for Donegal.
Well, that's probably the main aim as well. Look, is blooding these players at underage level and trying to get back to top levels within the county, Brendan. I think that's what we're looking for, naming for, you know, yourself.
Yeah, top stuff. You can go on and coach them then and...
I'm actually back playing, Brendan, at junior
I heard about this, that's right. Yeah.
Well, I played a game and then I made a hero of myself and I thought I could run all day, but the body told me something different, so I couldn't do it then last weekend.
It's funny how quickly the body checks you back to say, whoa, hold on.
Absolutely.
I get the wee shocks all the time, hey, and I'm like, geez, have I let the fitness go this bad? But we will have a plan, Mo. It might have to wait till January, but we'll do pre-season and we'll see how it goes.
I'll wait for you to do it first, eh?
Mo, yes, indeed, that's grand. Listen, Mo, thanks so much for that wrap-up this evening across all championships. Fair play to you.
Good stuff, Brendan. Chat to you later.
That's great. Maureen O'Donnell there, and chairman and former Donegal star, of course. Great contributing here on Highland Radio. After the break, I'm going to talk to Niall Cleary about Saturday's big hurling club finals in the Donnell Park. Yes, welcome back, folks, to the show. I'm going to talk to former Donegal star and Setanta player Niall Cleary. Niall, how are you, sir?
Good, Brendan. How are you keeping? Good to chat to you again.
You're keeping well, lad. You're beside the seaside now, though, were you?
I'm beside the seaside. I'm in Dunfanaghy now, Brendan. Yeah, so I don't know. It's like, you know, that one life, one club. It doesn't really make sense for me. I don't know whether I'm a St. Michael's man or a St. Anta man or a Sean Owen man now at this stage. I'm very, very confused.
I've moved about a wee with myself. That's quite all right with me. Now, are you getting involved down there with a bit of hurling in that?
Yeah, they've got a bit of hurling going now in St. Michael's. Been going there on a Thursday night. Manus Friel, who's one of the coaches of Donegal GA, has been a big pusher in that. And yeah, been getting brilliant numbers, Brendan, 40 or 50 there, kind of most Thursday nights. So it's been class. And then the football's been going well the last couple of weeks as well. So everything's going well over that side at the moment.
Yeah, magic stuff. And I know you've been involved in different things now, if we've time at the end, just promoting the game around the county. We'll get on to it. But first of all, now, three big games at the weekend. We have a junior final. We have Letterkenny Gaels, which is great to see, against Burt. St. Eunan's done low, St. Eunan's second team. And then the big one, the senior final, your own men of St. Anta against St. Eunan. So listen, a huge day in the park again, and a brilliant day in the Donegal hurling calendar.
Yeah, that's it. It's brilliant the way it's been working the last 2 years, to be able to have three finals, the junior, intermediate and the senior. And, you know, Donald Park, like, which is really the home of hurling in Donegal. It should be a really great occasion. Like, and to see teams like Four Masters won the junior this year. Letterkenny Gaels are in it this year. Dunlow are in the intermediate final. So it's great to see a spread of clubs around the county. And I know the pitch will be in great nick there. It always is. So it should really be a great day of hurling on Saturday.
Yeah, and that all kick off pretty early then. Now, and listen, it's a great thing to come down and be involved in, because, listen, county finals at every stage, you know, listen, I've won a junior football county final, and listen, it was the greatest thing ever at the time. You know, any championship you won is massive. So, you know, there's a great area there. I would encourage everybody to go down and see these games in this final, because there's a great buzz about it. And I think, you know, as we all know, it's such a special game. You talk about a day's entertainment, there's nothing like it.
No, that's it, Brendan. And like, apart from that, like, that being at a final is obviously going to be great, but the standard has really just risen in the last few years, like particularly in the senior level anyway. And like, it should be a real quality game of hurling, on top of it being a great occasion. Last year, I know the county board put in a great effort, and they had a band and everything before it, and they did kind of similar to what the football would do. So yeah, it should be a really great occasion, and there's a good spread of clubs, so hopefully there'll be a big crowd there to cheer everybody on.
And just on the two, before we get to senior finals, just on that, so the Burt team that's playing in this against Letterkenny Gaels, different teams have a second or third team potentially, and St. Eunan's the same.
Yeah, that's it. Burt are in the junior, so that'll be their second team. So, but still, I'm sure they'll have some good hurlers. I haven't seen any reports of matches, but they usually have some of the older players, like Mickey McCann played himself up to a couple of years ago, Niall Campbell, you know, players like that who are still togging out junior. And you know, which is amazing, because them boys have given so much to their club over 20, 30 years, just at adult level, to be still going and still togging out to play for a junior team is amazing. And then Dunlow, like, I've Cormac Hartnett's been doing a lot of work over in Dunlow, and for them to get to an intermediate final, I don't think that they've won it yet, so it would be a big thing for them to win an intermediate final. But I know they'll be up against it, because St. Eunan seem to have a really strong intermediate team this year as well. They have a lot of players who would have had maybe senior experience or played maybe senior league anyway, even this year. So that'll be a tough game for them, but it's great to see them in it.
Yeah, but the rules now would be the same as ever. If you've played senior, you know, that's the team that you're in, so you have to kind of commit to one or either.
Yeah, that's it. The same thing as any county, I suppose. You name your 15 at the start of the year. Everybody else can play for the second team up until when they play for the first team. Yeah. And that's it. And it's just, I suppose, out of fairness, they did kind of try it 1 year where you could play, say, up to the semi-final stage for both teams. But some teams are kind of coming stacked then for an intermediate or a junior game, and it just didn't work out. So yeah, I think this is probably the fairest way, and clubs seem to be getting the numbers out for second teams, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and of course, Burt, the champions last year, that was a pretty amazing game against St. Anta in the final. One of those games just where a team was, it was just one of those days where they weren't going to be beat. But of course, St. Anta, as many people say, the most talented squad, I think, in the county potentially. But them and St. Eunan's, of course, you were saying it was the top four, so one played four, two played three, so it left St. Eunan's against Sean McCulls, and Burt played off against St. Anta in the semi.
Yeah, 100%, Brendan, that was it. So we played St. Eunan's early on in the championship in the cross, and we were blessed to get out of it with a draw. We got a goal and a point in the last couple of minutes, just to steal a draw from them, really. So then it was just coming down to score difference between us and them for the first spot, and they kind of blew everyone out of the water in the group stage. So they finished top. They played McCool's then, and McCool's have been kind of putting in a lot of work underage, and they're definitely improving under Jamesy Donnelly, but they're just not quite up to that level just yet. And so Union's kind of beat them fairly easy in the semi-final. And then we played Burt, and different game to last year. I suppose Burt were down a lot of players this year. You know, Liam McKinney, who's their main man, one of the main players on the county team, he was missing. He spent the summer over in the States. So it was a different kind of game, and we just got on top, and we ran out winners 5 or 6 points in that one. But, you know, I don't think the group stage result or the semi-final results, that's been so long ago now, it's been a month since the semi-finals, I don't think they're going to have any bearing at all on Saturday. You know yourself, finals kind of just come down to on the day, don't they? And even if you're looking at the All-Ireland finals this year from the hurling and the football, like, nobody gave Tip a chance going into the hurling, and it was just all about performance on the day. And the same thing getting into the football, everyone was saying it was a 50-50 game, and then Kerry just performed better on the day, and that's exactly what finals come down to. You just have to perform on the day.
Yeah, yes, indeed. We're still trying to get one on board right now. Now, see that thing you're talking about there? The Donegal probably think, because as I spoke to you earlier, there's been very little talk about it because there was so much going on with Donegal being the All-Ireland final. It probably took away from the hurling a bit. So I'm really glad now this weekend it has pride a place, and we can really look forward to these, what should be great encounters, because it kind of wee bit got lost in that whole for our round Donegal.
It probably did a little bit, Brendan, but like, it was an amazing year. Like, and even I'm teaching over there in Carrigart, and the kids were coming in every Monday, like, and they're raving about these matches, and they're on the pitch after it, and they're travelling up and down the country, and, you know, there was a real buzz about that. And then maybe just the hurling then started probably at the wrong time, and then everybody kind of knows at this stage it's going to be, what, 3 out of the 4 teams in the semi-final anyway, so it doesn't really kick off till semi-final stage, so maybe that was something to do with it. But yeah, it should be, hopefully there'll be a bit of a build-up now in the papers this week, and it'll get a decent crowd down, and I know you're always very good to the hurling yourself to give it it time on the debate and
that's,
stuff.
That's my mum's from Galway. She wouldn't forgive me otherwise. They're all hurling. That's why we grew up with a lot of hurling. My sisters would all have played camogie for Donegal. We'd have been out battering each other. I actually played a wee bit for Burt, which went down well at the Satanta dinner dance when I told them that when I was up there a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you were a popular man going into it. I don't know if you were popular going out, but
I should have kept that bit quiet. But listen, the rivals are good. Niall, is Union's up their game a bit this season then, definitely, you know, compared to maybe last season in terms of being at the pitch?
They're always thereabouts, like, they're, you know what I mean, that they beat us in a final already, and they've been in lots of finals, so they're always thereabouts. But this year they just seem to be, you know what I mean, really going well. They've been, like I said, they've been shooting really good scores in the group stages. They seem to have everybody. I'm sure Sean McVay will be back for the weekend as well. I'm sure we'll see him at some stage. But yeah, they just have really good players there. You know, Conor O'Grady, Peter Kelly. They've a new fella in there from Tip, Kieran Larkin. I know they've been getting huge numbers out to training. So it's probably a new one for Satanta going into the final as underdogs. And probably rightly so. You know, Union's topped the group, blew everyone away. So it's probably a different build up to the game this year with it being like that.
Yeah, and do you know what, I was out there one night and the hurlers come out past me, and you would notice the physical shape that they're in, you know, and I know club falls county, you know, and I've seen that with the football in terms of the physical shape and everybody then getting that type of a programme, of course not going to that level, but certainly from what I noticed, the hurlers, they were in serious physical shape, you know, and I suppose that's key to you being the team that they are this season.
Yeah, 100%, friend. You don't get away with it anymore, being out of shape at club level in Donegal. Like, there's nobody who's getting to a semi-final or final has players really who are out of shape. Like, and I know St Union's will have a few dual players there as well, who are obviously going to be very fit and stuff. But yeah, you're 100% right. That's the strength and conditioning and the fitness work in the hurling in Donegal in general has just gone up a notch in the last probably 6 or 7 years. Like, since I'm up 10 years now, and it was nothing like what it was then anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your head telling you, never mind your heart, what's your head telling you on this one, Niall? You're thinking Unions, because of the group stages, maybe are slight favourites, but you've got obviously serious experience in Setanta, particularly with the run they went on a couple of seasons ago through Ulster.
Yeah, I think just based on the results so far in the Championship this year, Unions look like they're moving really well, probably going just as slight favourites. But then, yeah, like you say, Setanta, we've been to the last, this will be our ninth final in a row. So there's a huge amount of experience in our squad. And obviously then there's a little bit of hurt from last year, which we'll want to right. And it's just then it comes down to that, like I just said to you, performing on the day and just making sure that everybody wins their own battles. And hopefully then at the end of the day, you're hoping if you win enough of those battles that you'll come out on top.
Yeah, certainly huge experience in there, as I say, from a team that went all the way to the All-Ireland final a couple of seasons ago. That whole team, the basics, the bones of that team is still there. Now, we're just down to the last minute and a half. Tell me, you were doing a bit of work with coaching around the county, promoting the hurling game there a while back.
Yeah, so there's a new head of hurling, Willie Maher, who's a man from Tipperary. And he's kind of brought in an initiative where he's trying to get new hurling units, I think they're kind of referring to them as. So that can be a completely new club, or it can be getting hurling going in an existing club. So I think 7 clubs in Donegal applied for and got this grant or this equipment. So I suppose I'm living in Dunfanaghy and I'm teaching in Carrigart, so which will be affiliated with the Downings Club, obviously. So St. Michael's have it up and running on a Thursday night, like I say, from under-10s down. And then Downings will be getting it up and running out once we get back to school, kind of thing. And then there's other clubs as well, you know, Glen Swilly there, who have a few kind of expert players. And there's a few more down the west, I think. So it seems to be going really well. And obviously the fact that these clubs are getting players out and getting shows that there is an interest in it there. And, you know, it's brilliant to see. I think the more people you can get into your club, the better. Like, it's never going to be a hurling v football thing, like, especially in Donegal, everybody knows football's always going to come first, and that's 100% the way it should be. But I think giving everybody the chance to play hurling is important.
And listen, you can see the growth in it now, and it's fantastic to see, and well 100%. Done with all your work. Now, that's the end of the show there. Thank you so much for that wrap up. I'll see you out there at Donald Park on Saturday supporting the Unions. What are the Unions?
Thanks for that, Brendan. We'll see you after. How are you feeling?
Top man. That's Niall Cleary there. Listen, we look forward to the game on Saturday in the hurling finals. Thanks everybody for contributing to the show this evening and wrapping up all. I want to thank Mark Galler for producing. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. The two lads are raring to go, and I'll speak to you all next week.